and how to deal with the Indian Brahmanas and Mayavadi. So point one, in dealing with the smarter Brahmanas, we must remember that they have no bona fide parampara. Therefore, they are not in a position to receive transcendental knowledge. So basically, these Indian Brahmins are just caste Brahmins. Caste Brahmin means they are born in a Brahmin family, but they are actually they're born in a Brahmin family, and that's why they think that they are Brahmins. But actually, they do not have any Brahminical, most of them do not have the basic qualifications of a Brahmin. What are the qualifications of a Brahmin? Very good. Sama means what?
Equality.
Yeah. Dhamma means? No, Dhamma means
pride.
Yeah, sense control. Tapo means austere. Saucha means
clean.
So, this is how we can see that the basic qualifications of the Brahmanas are not present in them. They are not equipoised. They do not think that all the sama sarveshu bhuteshu. That's the basic basic qualification of a Brahmana that's missing in them. A Brahmana who is situated in the Brahma-Bhuta platform, in his eyes all the living entities are equal. Why? Because he sees every living entity as a spirit soul. But these Brahmanas, they do not have that vision. They do not have sama. Dhamma, they are not sense, most of them are not sense controlled. Tapo, they do not have any austerity. They are not clean. All they have is they are born in a Brahmin family and they have a thread around their torso. And that's what makes them claim that they are Brahmin. But are we supposed to consider the caste of a person according to his birth? Janmashtami?
No.
Then according to what?
Quality.
According to his one's quality. Guna karma vibhagash. So, by qualification, they are not Brahminika. So, Prabhupada often used to say, he is very proud that he is a Brahmin. But he is actually flying a rickshaw. He's a rickshawala. He's working as a rickshawala and he has a thread around his torso and he says, I'm a Brahmin. Brahmin means knowledge, but they do not have any knowledge. So, in dealing with a smarter Brahmana, we must remember that they have no bona fide parampara. They are not Brahmana according to their diksha. They had gone through the ceremony, initiation ceremony, of receiving a Brahmin thread, but that is mainly some smarter way. Like, they have cooler gurus, like in the family priest. And the family priest comes and gives them the Brahmin thread. No knowledge whatsoever.
What's the
term?
What's the name?
Family priest? Kula guru. Kula guru. Kul means family, and guru means guru. So we must remember where first, in order to deal with them, we must first understand where they are at. The Vaishnava is more elevated than a Brahman. Can anybody comment on that? Kalavinka?
Yeah, a Vaishnava is a devotee of Krishna, whereas a Brahmana is not necessarily.
Very good. Pranana, do you want to say something else?
Yeah, just...
Same thing. Actually, the Brahmana platform has got different stages. Right? The first stage of Brahmana is called?
Dvija.
The second stage of Brahmana is called? Vipra. The third stage of Brahmana is? That's the stage of a Brahmana.
Brahmana.
And then what is the beyond Brahmana stage?
Vaishnava.
Right. So we can say a man starts his spiritual journey from the first stage of his journey is called Dvijata. Dvija. What does it mean, Anandamaya? Dvija?
Dvija is twice
born. Twice born. What's the second birth? Janmashtami.
Second birth is
Initiation. Yeah, what's the birth of? What does it mean?
Humanness.
No. Very good. The birth of the spirit soul. Right? Our first birth is that the birth that we got from our father and mother. That's the birth of this material body. But through the initiation from the spiritual master, we receive our second birth, that is the birth of the spirit soul. Right? So that is the meaning of second birth, of twice born.
Birth is this first initiation of the being before in the early age?
No. This first initiation means Harinam Diksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the holy name. And when somebody receives the holy name from a bona fide spiritual master, that is the Harinam Diksha. And then the actually Diksha is second initiation. The actually Brahminical Diksha is the second initiation. So then what happens? When one becomes twice born? Vedic. Here he studies the Vedas under the direction of a spiritual master. Then what he becomes a Vipra. Vedopathat bhavet Vipra. And then when one becomes
realized.
Yes. What realized?
Brahman
realized. Then he becomes a Brahman. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kamshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhakti Lavate Param. So that is the Brahmana stage. But this is Brahma Bhuta Prasanna. But being situated in Brahma Bhuta platform is not also the ultimate accomplishment. Beyond Brahma Bhuta, Brahman realization is what realization? Bhagavan realization. Realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal features. And that is, at that stage one becomes the Vaishnava. So who is higher, Mahavishnu?
Vaishnava
is higher than a Brahmana. But then, another consideration here is, a Vaishnava is so humble that he doesn't consider himself to be a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava considers himself to be the lower than the lowest. Srinadopi sunichena. Purisher ki thoite muishe lobhishto. I am more degraded than the worms in the stool. So that is how a Vaishnava feels. So, although Vaishnavas know that the Brahmanas are inferior to a Vaishnava platform, but still he does not become puffed up. If he becomes puffed up and thinks that, oh, I am a Vaishnava, I am greater than the greatest, then he is not a Vaishnava. So, a Vaishnava will never claim himself to be a Vaishnava. Vaishnava will never try to establish himself as a big personality. Or Vaishnava will not try to present himself as the most elevated person. So this is actually the Achinta Bheda Bheda. Theoretically, we know that since we are pursuing the Vaishnava culture, and since we have been elevated to this platform by the mercy of our spiritual master, our position is higher than even a qualified Brahmin, a person who is situated in the Brahma Bhuta platform. Even higher than that. But we do not think ourselves anything higher than a blade of grass. So then only will become Vaishnavas. And actually the genuine Brahmanas are situated in Brahma Jyoti. They can see Brahman, like that. There is a very nice example. Ramanujacharya had a disciple. He was actually his cousin who became his disciple. His name is Govinda. So Ramanujacharya, Govinda's parents were persuading him to get married. And so he got married. But he got married to a 16-year-old girl, but he didn't live with his wife. He was so attached to Ramanujacharya and so attached to spiritual life that his mother-in-law complained to Ramanujacharya that this boy got married, but he doesn't live with his wife. So Ramanujacharya said, no, you should go and live with your wife. And so Govinda tried to persuade, and finally Ramanujacharya convinced him. So Ramanujacharya, then Govinda went and stayed with his wife for 3 nights. So Ramanujacharya told him that you stay with your wife for 3 nights and give her a child. So then Govinda came back, and his mother-in-law came and complained again to Ramanujacharya that this boy, he stayed there in the house for 3 nights, but he didn't really associate with his wife. So Ramanujacharya asked Govinda, what's the matter? Why didn't he just give her a child? So Govinda says, see, in order to unite with her, I need darkness. But I couldn't find any darkness. Even at night, I don't see any darkness. So no one believed that. Ramanujacharya, of course, believed. But to establish this, to make everybody realize Govinda's elevated situation, one day in a dark night, Ramanujacharya told Govinda, Govinda, I dropped a needle in my room. So please get that. So Govinda goes to the room and brings the needle back. And he, being situated in Brahma Buddha platform, he was seeing the Brahma Jyoti everywhere. So for him there was no darkness. He was situated in Vaikuntha. So this is the position of a real Brahman. But a Vaishnava's position is even higher than that. That is, of course, a true Vaishnava. You know, the main point in this course is, like, although we know what a Brahmana is, Smarta Brahmana, although we know what a Mayavadi is, but we do not look down upon them.
If you are associated with ISKCON, then you become a Brahmana.
Not necessarily. Of course, Guru should judge his disciples. This will be his Brahman initiation. That's undoubtedly, that must be done. But at the same time, there is another consideration. That actually, devotees don't need to become a Brahmana. The Vaishnava don't need to have a Brahmana.
Go through this,
actually, it was started by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he started this process to establish the fact that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are higher than the Brahmana. And the Gaudiya, and this Mahaprabhu's line is beyond any consideration of birth. And it's totally situated on quality. So anyone who is qualified, he is actually a Brahmin. He can be a Brahmin, although he may be born in a very low class family. Right? And, but I also agree that we have to be careful. You should not give Brahmin initiation to unqualified people. Right? Just to make a mockery of it. Another example I remember, another incident. Once, some reporter came to interview Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta. And one reporter asked Prabhupada why he was giving Brahmin initiation to the Westerners. So Prabhupada's answer was, so that you all do not think that they are anything less than a Brahmin. Prabhupada's reason, he was not giving Brahmana initiation to make them Brahmins. He gave them the Brahmin initiation so that non-devotees do not mistake that these people are anything less than a Brahmana and commit offenses. Prabhupada exactly used that expression, and commit offenses. Actually, their Vaishnavas and their position is even higher than a Brahmana. They don't need a Brahmin.
About the term Samartha Brahman, like my body, if you say the word my body to my body, that's somewhat derogatory as far as I understand.
My body to my body.
If you approach my body and you say to him you are my body, you're not offended.
Smartha, the word Smartha is coming from Smriti Shastra. Smriti means the Vedic literature. And those who take the meanings of the scriptures literally, without the proper understanding of it, they are called the smartest. Like, they will find that they are very very attached to the Vedic ritual without understanding the goal of those rituals. They are very particular about, you know, performing austerities and penances and, you know, behaving like a Brahmana, right? But they do not know what is the goal of those rituals.
Will they become offended then? Will they pick it up in that way if you call them?
Yes, if you call them a smartha brahmana, it's kind of a derogatory term, because as if you are not accepting them as a brahmana, as the brahmana. It's a kind of a section of the brahmana.
So they call themselves brahmana?
They call themselves brahmana. Just brahmana.
What do they claim to be in line with?
In line with?
What is they
don't have any. You know, if you ask them, what's the qualification of a Brahmana, you know, I mean, they don't have the answer to that. Most of them are talking about.
So, what about their spokesman? Those who are supposed to know.
There are many interesting encounters, and there were quite a few interesting encounters during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time. Like, he loved to smash the Brahmana. Oh, there are many, many encounters. And not only during Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even Narottam Das Thakur, as early as that time, there were some heavy, heavy encounters. So these Brahmanas actually, to use a very, you know, heavy term, in the Vedas it has been mentioned that in the age of Kali, the demon will be born in the Brahmana family, taking advantage of this age of Kali. Brahmana, Rakshasa Koli Mashritta, Jayante Brahma Jamishri. So demons will be born in the Brahmana. So actually, the so-called Brahmanas, although apparently very, very expert in their ritualistic, following their rituals, but actually they are demons. Like Ravana was a Brahmana. And apparently Ravana was a pakka Brahmin. There was no jagic Brahman as expert as Ravana. He was very expert in performing sacrifice. But he's a demon. Purushanukin.
There's a verse in the Garuda Purana, you've heard of it, and it mentions the different levels of Brahmana.
Like?
Well, because Brahmana Namasa has to be up.
Satrajati, Sahasribho,
Vedanta Parada.
Sharva Vedanta Parada.
Sarva Vedanta Vikrotya, Vaishnava, which is Shishite, Vaishnava Sahasribhya, Vishnu Bhakti Vishishite. So it seems to be in the different.
Yeah, that's true. That means, explain. You know the meaning?
The first one is Satra Yajna, which means a person who can perform Vedic rituals very expertly.
Well, sacrifice.
And he's a Brahmana.
Out of thousands of Brahmanas, one who performs sacrifices, one who is expert in performing sacrifices, you get out of thousand Brahmanas, one Satra Yajna. Out of thousands of satrajajis, you get one Vedanta Veed, one who knows the Vedanta. Out of such millions of Vedanta Veed, you get one Vaishnava. And it is very difficult to find Krishna Bhakta out of this Vaishnava. Out of thousands of Vaishnavas, it's difficult to find one Krishna Bhakta.
Well, Prabhupada, I think, he translates here, out of thousands of Vaishnavas, one who is completely engaged in the service of the Lord, he's the best of all.
Okay, thank you all very much.
All glory to Krishna Prabhupada.
Now, how to deal with the Mayavadis? The Mayavadis, the essence of their conclusion is that ultimately everything is Brahma, and all that is perceived in this nature is a transformation of that Brahma. And when Brahma is under the influence of the mode of goodness, then that is the incarnations. And when they are influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance, then it's jiva. So that is the conclusion of the Mayavadi. Now, their understanding is diametrically opposite to Vaishnava understanding. What is the difference between Vaishnava understanding and Mayavadi understanding? That they do not understand that there is a reality beyond this material reality. They think that this material nature is mitha, and Brahma is the only substrate. Only truth, only reality is Brahma, and this material nature is a mitha or false. So, whereas the Vaishnava philosophy, the basic Vaishnava philosophy is... Yes, yes. So here you can see the difference between the Mayavadi conclusion and the Vaishnava conclusion. The Mayavadi is considered the Brahma Sattva Jagat Mitha. Right? But the Vaishnava conclusion is that this Jagat is Mitha as a reflection. It's a reflection, that the reality as a reflection is, this nature is real as a reflection. But the real reality is beyond this material nature. And like when you say that here is a reflection, then we must understand that whatever is perceived in the reflection must be there in reality. Because if they are not existing in reality, how can the reflection be there? That is the main point by which Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya's Mayavad. He was the first one actually to defeat Mayavad. And one of the points that he made, to clarify that point, Shankaracharya established that he established Brahma Sattva Jagat Mitha with an example of a rope. As a rope is mistaken to be a snake. Sarpote Rajyubhram. Mistaking a rope to be a snake. Now, Ramanujacharya, he raised the argument that fine, there is no snake in the rope. But somewhere the snake must be existing, that's why you're mistaking the rope to be a snake. If the snake is not existing, then where is the question of mistaking that rope to be a snake? So this snake, the variety of this material nature may not be real in itself, but somewhere this variety must be existing, that's why we are seeing that variety in the material nature. So this is how we establish Brahma is not without variety. Brahma is with spiritual variety. And that spiritual variety is reflected in the material nature. In the material variety of variegatedness. Actually, these are acharyas are very smart thinkers, and so now Mayavadis are the people, those who think that Brahma Sattva Jagat Mitha, Ekam Eva Advitiyam Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. These are the points that they through this point, they try to establish that this material nature is illusory and the real reality is Brahma, but this Brahma is nirgun, devoid of any qualities, nishakti, devoid of any potency, nirakar, devoid of any form. So it is devoid of everything. And actually that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated that Mayavadi conclusion. By just quoting one verse, he just raised that verse from Bhagavatam, Parashya Shakti Vividhai Vashriyate Shabhaviki Kriya Balareva. Parashya Shakti, the supreme and the transcendental energy, is Vividhai Vashriyate, is addressed by various names. It is not one, and not just Brahma, it has many other names. Vividhai Vashriyate and Shabhaviki, they have natural Shakti, potency, Kriya, activities, ball, strength and variety. So how can you say that the spiritual energy is devoid of any? And actually nowhere it has been mentioned that the spiritual energy is devoid of Nirakar, Nirvishesh, etc. Whenever it is said that Nirgun, that actually implies that it does not, the spiritual energy does not have the gunas as they are present in the material nature. Mode of ignorance, passion and goodness. Yes.
Someone may ask, well then if it is such an important point, why isn't it said that he does not possess material qualities? Instead it's just nirguna qualities at all.
Nirgun, you see, it is this point has been mentioned for the people, those who are very much connected to the material nature. That for them, it is pointed out that the Lord is transcendental to the material nature. Daivi hesha guna mohi. This material nature is guna mohi. But the Lord is nirgun, beyond this guna of the material nature. To imply that the Lord is beyond this material nature.
Beyond the jurisdiction.
So now, actually these Mayavadis are the biggest threat to Vaishnavism. So that's why the general understanding is avoid them. We don't have anything to do with them. Because Mahaprabhu himself gave the instruction, Mayavadir bhashya sunile hoy sarvanash. If one listens to the commentary of a Mayavadi, he is doomed. His spiritual life is finished. Because these Mayavadis are, they are very expert actually. They have such tremendous intelligence. They are actually very intelligent. They are very learned. And they have such a profound distorted understanding of the scriptures that if a person is not strong enough, he will become deluded and will begin to think that yes, what they are saying is correct. So that's why Mahaprabhu instructed, avoid them. Don't listen to what they are saying. So Mayavadi bhashya sunile hoy sarvanash, doomed. So, but then again, from time to time we have to encounter with people, those who are actually Mayavadis. May not be hardcore Mayavadis, but actually all the scientists are Mayavadis, practically all the philosophers in the West are Mayavadis. And so all these people, I mean the world is infested with the Mayavadis, so we can't actually avoid them. So, now there are two types of Mayavadis. One is those who are apparently those who are Mayavadis, and those who are indirect, those who are harboring the Mayavad concept indirectly, like the scientists and philosophers, the fallen academic world. Now, those who are directly presenting themselves as Mayavadi, they are sannyasis and they are apparently they are sadhu. Now, as a Vaishnava, we have to be respectful to them. That is, we just offer them, we don't offer them obeisances by lying down on the ground. Because that is very inauspicious for them. Because if a superior offers obeisances to an inferior, then it brings a great inauspiciousness to the inferior, to the junior. Now, so spiritually, they are much too inferior to the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas should never offer them obeisances. And they will offer respect to the sannyas order. But better, I mean, the best thing is to Hare Krishna. Just fold their hand. Well, I don't know whether Prabhupada wanted us to offer obeisances as such. The greeting, we should greet them. And that's about all. But better not to get into discussion, because it will inevitably end up in an unpleasant home. So that's why it is better to avoid this Mayavadi. And if at all we have some encounter with the Mayavadis, then we notice the way Prabhupada is to deal with the Mayavadi. He would, not only the Mayavadis, he would, with anyone who has some opposing views, Prabhupada stick to one point. Like, so when you get into arguments, because they are simply very smart, what they do is, they kind of bewilder your intelligence. They will present all kinds of arguments, and they, because they know the scriptures very well, and most of them are very expert in Sanskrit. They know many, many quotes. So they just, they will take you for a ride in there with their intelligence. So for us, it's best to just stick to one point. The way Prabhupada is to do with the Christians. Jesus said you shouldn't eat meat, why are you eating meat? Prabhupada just would budge from that point. So if you say that you're a Christian, you must follow Jesus' instructions. And Jesus said you shouldn't eat meat. Why are you eating meat? Prabhupada wouldn't listen to anything, Prabhupada wouldn't get into any other arguments, he would just stick to this very basic point. So the same way we can stay with the Mayavadis, we can stick. There are so many verses in the scriptures. Like, one verse from Bhagavad Gita is Klesho Adhika Tarasteshaam Abhyakta Shakta Chetasham Abhyakta Higoti Dukham Deho Bhagji Parivartate. Now, this is one, I mean, if we just stick to this one verse, actually they, Mayavadis, they accept Bhagavad Gita. They do not accept Srimad Bhagavatam, but they accept Bhagavad Gita.
How
did
they deal with that verse?
I mean, they can't. Because they are of Bhakta Shakta Chetasham. Right?
Once I asked about this verse, and he said, yes, it is more difficult. The other one is easy, it's for the common people, but this is more difficult. Not everybody can do it.
Right. Then, if they say that, then the point, then we can present our argument that it is a fool who takes a difficult path. Right? An intelligent man will take the easy path. Right? I mean, how do you hold your ear? Do you hold it like this? Or do you hold it like this? So, if a person is holding it like this, do you think he's intelligent? He's a fool.
Prabhupada raises this in his prophetic purpose, the same argument.
So,
this is bad, why don't they take it?
Yes. Actually, that's what I said. Like, they kind of, I mean, they're so foolish, and they're so bewildered, that they try to justify their stupidity. By reason, by argument. Like, Shankaracharya himself said, Bhajagovindam, 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 Murhamate. Now, when this is presented to them, they often say that, well, Shankaracharya said that about the Murhas. Because Bhajagovindam is meant for the Murhas, Murhamate. Those who are intelligent, for them there is no need to worship Govinda. Actually, this is called ortho kukkuti nyaya, the half-chicken logic. You take half of the chicken, the hind part of the chicken lays eggs, and the front part of the chicken eats. So, you say, if you think that, well, I mean, I won't take the front part of the chicken that eats, I'll take the hind part of the chicken that lays the eggs. That doesn't work. You have to take the whole thing together. And if we take Shankaracharya's verse, it's very, very clear. That's the thing, you see, like, they just take a sectional, you know, just one portion that fits their logic, right? Or fits their point. They'll present that, and they'll reject the rest. If we look at this verse of Shankaracharya, he says, prapte sannihite marane nahi rakshati dukhrin karane. That at the time of death, this dukhrin karane, this your grammatical expertise, is not going to save you. So, bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam. So this is, and also the whole Mayavad approach is like that. They never, say, they took only some sections of the Vedas that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out. Some secondary slokas of the Vedas they took, like Tattamasi, Sarvam Khandidam, Brahma, Soaham, etc., etc. But Mahaprabhu pointed out that Pranokshya Mahavakya Vedendina. The Mahavakya of the Vedas is Prana, Omkar. So that should be accepted as the main, the central sum and substance, the essence of the Vedas. Not Tattamasi and Sarvam Khandidam Brahma. They are just Shankaracharya, in order to justify his point, he brought in, he introduced these few secondary. They are called, these shlokas, or these words from the Vedas are called Gauna. Gauna Vakya. Gauna is secondary. These are all secondary statements of the Vedas. Never ever Tattamasi is considered to be the principal and essential presentation of the Vedas. So Tattamasi, Sarvam Khandidam, Brahma, these are just secondary points.
Hare Krishna
Mahamata
while
we chant.
Hare Krishna.
We make this argument to them. Say, okay, are you chanting home? Yes. Hare Krishna Mahamata is not different from home. Krishna is telling, but we have to take authority. Krishna is telling, Pranabhoshmi Sarva Vedeshu. That I am the Pranab of all the Vedas. So Pranab is not different from Krishna. Right? And when you say Krishna and when you say Om, they're not different. Right? And we are not getting this from anybody else, but none other than Krishna himself. We are getting it from Krishna himself. Krishna is telling that he is the Pranava of the Veda. And Pranava is the Mahavakya. So, we can see the basic difference between the Mayavadis and the devotees. Like Srila Prabhupada's second pranam mantra indicates that we should minimize our dealings with the Mayavadis. Prabhupada actually came to defeat the Mayavadis. So we actually have nothing to do with the Mayavadis. We came, the only thing that we have to do with the Mayavadis is just to finish them. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatani. Prabhupada came to destroy Mayavad and Sunyavad, Buddhism and Mayavad from the Western world. Western world means rest of the world. And actually West was very much under the grip of this Nirvishesh-vad and Sunyavad. And West is preaching that all over the world. Like we can see that basically the Buddhists are very much appreciated in the West. And people, whenever these intellectuals become interested with the Oriental philosophy, their first attraction is to the Buddhism. Vasudev knows it very well. and then when they come to India, then they're impressed by impersonally. They just can't deal with, or at least before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, they could not deal with the personalism at all. They thought it was just some kind of impersonal, some ritualistic worships of different demigods or idol worships. Yes. They think that it was just idol worship. Point 4, we may choose to offer respects to Mayavadis, but we must never accept their food. If a Mayavadi offers you some food, don't touch it. Because that's not prasad.
But sometimes you have to be polite. Maybe not eat the food, but so that you take it and then discard it. Sometimes it's very hard situation you put into it.
You can be very polite and say that I don't eat anything outside.
You know, we just take prasad in the temple. And we don't need anything
else. Actually, the Mayavads, they are very famous for that.
Yeah.
Mayavadis won't eat outside. Oh, they are very strict with their sign. Very, very strict.
Actually, they give this Mayavad only to the common people. And because they consider us like common people, it's actually disrespectful.
Actually, they are very disrespectful. If we take the prasad, we actually stoop down in front of the eye. Yes, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Then you said to the Maharaj, earlier you said that the Mayavad is bliss. How we, your prophet, we should just neglect and do it. Are the Mayavad in a better situation than the Mayavad?
No, they're actually in a worse situation.
Because it seems funny, because they worship Krishna directly.
Who?
The Buddhists.
Yes. Those who worship Buddha, they're getting some sukriti. So the simple people with faith worshipping Buddha, that's one thing. But when you talk about a Buddhist, he's a voidist. He thinks that the ultimate destination is to merge into nothing. Right? Can you imagine anything more miserable than that? Merging into nothing, like you, who is something, is becoming nothing. So that's the worst philosophy. That's why Shankaracharya came. See, Buddhists are actually hardcore atheists. Ved na maniya bautho hoilo nasti. The Buddhists are hardcore atheists. Now, in order to bring them in line, Shankaracharya came and established Mayavad. Based on Vedas. At least they started to accept the Vedas. So it's actually an advancement. For a Buddhist to becoming a Buddhist to become a Mayavadi is advancement. Right? And it has been described like on the field of atheism or Buddhism, Shankaracharya laid the foundation of theism. And on that foundation, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami and Vishnu Swami built the temple. And in that temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the deities of Radha Krishna. Now when you dig the foundation goes in the other direction. The house, the construction will go up, but the foundation goes down. Right? So, you see, on the field of atheism, when Shankaracharya is laying the foundation, apparently it seems that it's opposite to what we think, or opposite to the genuine Vedic conclusion. But actually, on that foundation, the Vedic theistic philosophy has been established.
Who says
this? This I heard from Prabhupada. Yes, we heard.
Because in the Vedas they're considered atheists, in Mayavadi, at least they accept some portion of the Vedas. So they're considered atheists.
Yeah, to some extent they are theistic. At least they accept the supreme. Right?
Worship deity.
And they, but that is, yeah, well, but the main point here is that the Mayavadi's credit, is that they are covered atheistic. They are covered Buddhists. They are not direct Buddhists. They think that they are not atheistic. But indirectly they are atheistic. Whereas the Buddhists, they actually are atheistic. Directly you can see that. They do not have anything to do with the spiritual life.
Don't they worship the deity of Buddha?
Don't they worship the deity of Buddha? Some of them do. But if you become an elevated Buddhist, then you don't. You know what the elevated Buddhists do? In Tibet, they used to be, I don't know if they have it still now, they, in the mountains, they have caves. Right? Small caves. And at an advanced stage, a Buddhist monk enters into the cave, right? And they seal it up with a big boulder. And there is a small little hole that every day some food is given to him. And then finally they stop giving you the food also. So that is their destiny. Do you like the mantra?
Isn't it considered that the Mayavada is actually worse than the atheist because they're actually distorting the misconception of the truth? Of course, an atheist might not have knowledge and can somewhere to try to convert.
There are different ways of looking at it. That's one way. Another way to look at it is that at least the Mayavadi accepts the Vedas. That goes to his credit. He has faith in the Vedas. And then, if you present the Vedic conclusion the right way, then the chances are better for him to accept that than the atheistic people. Because they don't want to accept any authority. At least these people are accepting some authority. Okay, thank you all very much.
All glory to Krishna.